Hallo, schönen guten Abend zusammen. Wir fangen an mit der Session Corp versus Corp Profiling Modern Espionage. So it's something about espionage and espionage. The session will be brought to you by Roberto Pratoni and Fabio Gioni.
Guten Abend. Wie geht's? I was studying actually German when I was a kid, but I never practiced it, so I forgot it. I'm sorry. Well, Scheiße, I just remember. But just okay. It will be in English. We will talk today about profiling modern state and industrial espionage. Before starting, my colleague actually. We talked together with me. He is Fabio Gioni, and beside being a personal friend of mine, he's, in my opinion, one of the best professionals in the counter-espionage, counter-intelligence, and anti-terrorism field. He has a broad experience also in telecommunication, while me personally, I am the Zone H guy, so the script kiddie. And but we are balancing together, so. I would like to introduce you before starting our new project, just a few months old. Maybe you were reading on the website of the CCC about the releasing of a hacker comic. This is our fourth episode. So we produced a hacker comic, especially for this Congress. At the end of this presentation, we have only 50 of such CDs containing the hacker comic PDF. Plus a music track named after the Congress, Private Investigation. And if you don't get your copy of the CD, don't worry, because we will hand over a lot more of CDs during the final ceremony at the end of the Congress. And please just take one copy, not a bunch of them, so you can leave for everybody. Thanks. Special guests. As a special guest in this comic episode, we have CCC Tim Pritlove. He is quite resembling him. And another guy, which is, again, a friend of us. We were all together, me, him, Tim Pritlove, and this guy whose name is Gaius. He's a hell of such an engineer, and he could convince your mother that she never delivered you just by talking like this. A very interesting guy, I would like all of you to meet in your life. Anyway, let's go ahead. And of course, you know the Blinken Lights project. You have seen also some samples in the dark room. The comic will be talking about the new version, the even more interactive version of the Blinken Lights. So, quite interesting comic. And of course, it is, you know, CCC loves space. You saw the rocket just parked out there. So the comic is also about space trips. Now, next. Just a few words about Zone H. This is not a conference about Zone H. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't know it. Before Zone H, actually another German project, oldas.org, was existing. We are tracking web server intrusions. Defacements, basically. I just want to report you an interesting number. This year, we reported 540,000 web server intrusion. It's a staggering number. Just in 2002, the number of web server intrusion was 10,000, 12,000 maximum per year. Now we get several thousands per day, each day. Now, why am I taking the hassle to reporting this to you? After all, we are just talking about defacements, and defacements are a very stupid crime. Yes, I do agree with you that defacements are a very stupid crime, but there are very good indicator about the vulnerable level of the server side of the internet. And actually, it is the only tangible level, because when we get statistics from big companies, big vendors, this is just commercial bullshit. I mean, the only way, the only real data we can get is from the web server defacements. Also because we set up such system where we don't get the notification of the defacement unless the attacker is revealing the technical methodology for the intrusion, and even the motivation can be personal or political, which are eventually disclosed to the administrator of the server to help to fix it. Anyway, don't think, okay, they are just CryptKitties, who cares? We are talking about company espionage and state espionage today. If you think that techniques used to do espionage and counter-espionage are different from the techniques used by CryptKitties, then you're wrong. Very rarely a specific attacking tool is crafted, written for the purpose of violating a specific server. 99% of the time, all you need it is to just use exactly the same techniques used by CryptKitties. So this huge number is a very good indicator for us that the full internet is very vulnerable. Now, we will see a piece of movie very interesting.
Okay, just before that, I wanted to just catch the ball that Roberto gave, saying, just to give you an example, there was one time, there were a couple of guys doing a penetration test. There were two very good skilled guys. One of them was much more skilled than the other one. And they had the same target, okay? And the less skilled guy, it took about 10 minutes. The other one, it took 2.5 hours, because the one that made it in 2.5 hours had to craft specifically a Trojan horse to do exactly that same thing. So it took a long time to do that, and the intelligence cycle just was lost. The simple guy, he just did it, you know, very easily, in a very simple way, not aesthetic, nothing special, but he just got the product. So now we're going to show you this little movie, and then I'm going to explain you why.
Sir, the vehicle has stopped.
So this is the real deal now. He's sure this time.
He sounds scared shitless.
Good, that's all it is.
All units, Irene. I say again, Irene.
Check him up, ready. Armor 5 on line up, ready. Star 4-1 on the ready.
Irene!
So, some of you might have recognized the movie Black Hawk Down, which was taken from a real event. So, where did the only original copy. Anyway, the reason why I showed it to you and took a little bit of your time It's because just in this little few minutes, they were enclosed all the concept of what is intelligence, what is asymmetric conflict, and everything else. So you saw a big superpower spending billions of dollars in satellites, communication, delta force, training of people, big weapons, everything, strategies, you know, consultants that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. And then you get a small kid, you know, with a phone. And this small kid with the phone just destroyed this whole operation. Just with a little act, you know, of intelligence. How much does it cost a small kid with a phone? Just, you know, you feed him, just give him a food once a day, just so he doesn't die too soon. And then you give him a phone, and that's it, you pay the phone bill. So this is what we are faced with right now, and what we are going to be faced with in the next conflict, in the next years to come. These people, and this is what's happening in Iraq right now, and in all the other countries where this type of wars are being fought, you know. Because anybody would use unconventional weapons in the measure that they don't have anything else to use. I was explaining before to a person at lunchtime, he was asking me, what is unconventional? What is something unconventional? I said, well, it's, you know, you have a fork, you use it to eat, or you use it to stab a person. So the one is conventional, the other one is unconventional. So you use whatever you have. And I remember when the war in Iraq started, there was this little drawing of this huge marine with big weapons and, you know, these night vision things, etc. And this small Iraqi, very thin, with the sand in his hand, and he threw it in the eye of the marine and said, ah, shit, this is not fair, you're being unconventional. And that's, so you need to use normal weapons, I don't have the money. Anyway, so... So this is the index, never mind, okay. Okay, so this is a thing that almost everybody since 2001 is saying. It says, oh, everything changed after 2001, you know, there is all this big thing that changed the world. And in fact, it did, so that's why I'm showing it. I remember, I mean, I've been working in the security field for 20 years now, and it was so tough to get money to do security. I mean, you just said, oh, I want to do security. Give me a budget, and I said, why? I said, because I am going to prevent incidents. I said, yeah, but if I prevent them, the incidents are not happening. So if they are not happening, there are no incidents, so I'm not going to get the money the next year. And it was really, really difficult. You had to be like a very big social engineer or get really to be a very good friend of the CEO to get money. After 2001, you got big budgets just like that, governments and the big industries. And... So what happened then? That this started to happen actually before 2001, but it was amplified by these big budgets. These big budgets were being used by companies and by governments, both to do, you know, security, defensive security, and the other one is to do offensive security. The offensive security is never mentioned. So we tried to find a word not to dirty the name of the hacker. For these people that they don't do something just, you know, out of curiosity, but they do it just out of the desire to have more money. You know, okay, you work, you want to have money, but just to live, you know. These guys, they just want money. They don't care about religion. They don't care about politics. They don't care about people. They just care about making money. And actually, there are quite a lot of them, not so many, professional people that do just this as a job. We call it jigo, which is a term which comes from go, which is danger in Japanese. Say go, go, go is danger. And then it's like a phantom, somebody that just does something and disappears. Why did we choose this name? Because these people, you never heard about, never hear about them in the media. Did you ever hear about, an industry got this or that secret stolen, this pharmaceutical industry got this formula stolen, and it was given to its competitor? You never heard about it, because industries and governments don't want to let this thing known if they find out. But most of the times, they never find out. And we're going to show you some examples afterwards. So, what is meant by industrial espionage is not just the kid going into the server and you know, making a big print out of credit cards or things like that, things done just out of the desire to challenge the system or you know, to be better or to show off with friends or anything. industrial espionage is being done just because it produces a lot of economy. Okay, I was making before the example of the pharmaceutical industry. You know that a little formula for a headache pill, it costs in research and killed animals, so much money that you wouldn't believe, and about 10 to 12 years of research. And the same is for the military industry, for avionics and everything else. And it takes about 1 hour to steal it, to copy it in a floppy disk. There are no more floppy disks in a USB key. And to give it to the competitor and to get $1 million. It really gets a little effort. So, okay, I can't read it too well, but these are the real cases that are going to be treated. Okay, and these are cases that have happened. Some of them, they're not known. In fact, one of them, the one with the K letter, I'm not going to say, that corresponds to a big company, a big security company, one of the hugest security company worth billions of dollars. And it got last year in the fight with, an industrial fight with a competitor or an industry that was being investigated. Somebody stole from them 240 gigabytes of data, all their database basically, and they have never found out. Okay, so I'm not going to say the name of the company because I don't want them to find out. And then you have, at the last conference I said that, the Hack in the Box, I said, somebody came from Microsoft, I think, he says, okay, what could that be? And he started to make a lot of noise. I said, no, I'm not going to tell you. He started to give me some whiskey, and I don't drink, so I said, give me some pot, maybe. I'm joking. So these are the things. The other one is Skype. So Roberto is going to talk about it. Skype is a very, very sensitive issue, actually, because it is, I use it too. I still use it after I know what I know. Because unfortunately, I hope that nobody else knows what we know now. Anyway, Skype actually is, there have been a lot of vulnerabilities found about Skype. Some of them have been patched, some of them not. But believe me, and you should be very careful to who you give your Skype login, okay? And then Roberto is going to explode this thing. Okay, so here we explain a little bit. So there is industrial espionage has always existed. There are some legitimate ways of doing it, and some illegitimate ways of doing it. The legitimate ways include and involve the use of business intelligence tools and everything else. The illegitimate ways involve the use of illegal acts like stealing information. You need to understand one thing. Italy accepted, and I'm Italian, most of the countries like United States, France and everything, I don't know about Germany actually, they have a very good link between industry and institutions. So you have the secret services of the institutions that work very closely with the industry just to help the economy of the country. I said, unfortunately, Italy is not doing that because our secret services don't have this type of power. They cannot even do interceptions, actually, in Italy. Only the police can do it. But in the other countries, they can. And the other one? Okay. So, and then the other thing, very useful to know, is that a lot of the research on security is being funded by governments. And there are a lot of the products that are being sold right now, like for example, firewalls, intrusion detection systems, but especially fraud detection systems for telecommunication industries, which are being funded by secret services, Israelis, Americans, or otherwise. And in some cases, I'm not going to say the name of the companies, we have been able to find that inside these tools, they were backdoors, they were linking directly to the country that originated the financing of this tool. So the next one. Okay, I already talked about it, so I think this is now the time of Roberto, except that what I wanted to say just very briefly is that what you need really to do to defend from this type of threat is just to be really, really awake, and never let down your attention level. Because, one thing about security is this one. Somebody once asked me, is there a really, 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 really secure system, something that nobody can break? I say, no. The secret is knowing what the system does. Everybody of you knows it. You know, when you do an assessment, you do a fingerprint of the systems you are assessing. But if you were to open a safe, you would find out what type of safe it is, you know, who constructed it, if there are bugs, how thick is the steel layer, so you can get, you know, the right drill, etc. Once you know it, you find a way to get around it. If you don't know it, you don't find a way to get around it. In the basic secret, then, is not to let anybody know what type of security you are using, and to really be to keep your attention level up. Okay, so these are all the definitions. I want to spare you these things now, so go to the next one. We already talked about this. Okay. So I just added this because, you know, it's out of repertory. How do you do it? I mean, it looks kind of simple. You say, I know all these things, you know. Oh, social engineering is very easy. You know the guy he was talking about before, Gaius, in Kuala Lumpur at the hotel, he came up to me and said, you know, I'm going to show you that I'm going to get the key of your room and get into your room. I said, huh. I said, okay, show me. He came back and he came with the key of my room. I said, what the fuck did you do? I said, I have also your account here. I said, he put on a tie, he went there, he just spoke a little bit French, you know, and nobody understood him, so they just gave him the thing. I don't know how the fuck he did it. I mean, I wasn't there. I tried to figure it out, but he did it. So the other, the very dangerous thing, the other one, is employees' exploitation. I was working for a military industry doing avionics a few years back, and I remember that the most dangerous thing was to let the engineers that were working on avionics go to lunch outside the company, because they were, you know, the competitors eating at the same, you know, at the same bar, and they were going close to them, and they were just asking them, you know, how did you do this thing? You are so good, and he was explaining the whole thing. I say, what the fuck is going on? I mean, we're just protecting everything, and he was just explaining everything. So either you kill them or I don't know what, but we get to that later. So go on. Okay, so this is the classic intelligence cycle. Okay, you can find it. I just put it there just to show you the new one, which comes now. So... So that intelligence cycle of before is the one costing a lot of money, you know, like the helicopters and all these type of things. So this is what is being used right now. It's actually really simple, but nothing effective is complicated, as everybody should know, okay? So when you need to do an exploitation of a company or something like that, I mean, I don't know for direct knowledge, but, you know, somebody explained it to me. It's, you know, you do the open source intelligence gathering on the company, whatever it produces, then target definition and acquisition, like if you were doing an assessment. Then you do the vulnerability assessment and profiling, you know, like we were saying before, just to know what you're going to get into. And then you generate exploits. It takes five people to do this. Five people, really skilled people, but five people. Not complicated with a mental complication, you know, just very simple people, really skilled, five people, they can do all this thing and generate a really big damage. They generate the exploit, then they need to set up the attack infrastructure, because most of the times attacking a target is illegal. I mean, all of the times it is illegal, but I mean, it depends also what type of something you do it for the good of mankind or not, but anyway, usually it is illegal anyway. And what does it mean to set up an attack infrastructure? If you are in a country where that, let's say that you work in Germany and your exploit target is in Germany or is in France, let's say that is in Germany, you will not have the attack come from Germany, right? Everybody knows that. So you need to set up a whole line of servers that, or SOC servers or proxy or whatever, or shells that allow you to attack the actual target coming from another country. And then you need to make sure that the country where you are attacking from doesn't consider illegal that act. There are still few countries like that, like for example Russia. okay, like everybody knows. And then you do the deception array setup. What is the beauty of it? That most of the times it looks like, you steal information, you attack a target, never destroy it, just to get information. And you make it look like that somebody else did it. Maybe, you know, somebody that you don't like too much and that you want these guys to get into legal trouble with the target. And then you do the exploitation, you gather the information, and you sell it. That's as simple as that. Usually these gigos, like we were saying before, they do it not directly. You never have a direct knowledge of these people, but they use intermediaries which get percentages and they get paid this way. Net, cash, very clean.
Basically, if you are a penetration tester, you can recognize this is a typical penetration testing scheme, nothing different. Just deception array setup, maybe it's not.
Okay, so this is, then I give the word to Roberto. This is one thing which is a project, it's taken from Terminator. There is a group called Quantic, which is not known around, but I already mentioned it at Hack in the Box. Now I know that they have taken forward this project, and they are creating this array, which is very interesting but very scary also, which is an artificial intelligence array, just they want to create machines which can link together, create a collectivity, and use it for destructive purposes. They are being monitored, but they are not being monitored by the right people, not by institutions who believe that this thing is possible. And I promised to Tim that I was going to give some more news at this conference, but we don't have more than this right now, so maybe at the next one we're going to give some more information about it, because the project is being kept really secret. And it's called Skynet 1.0, exactly as in the Terminator movie.
A few more cases that happened this year. Well, we're in Germany. Let's talk about T-Mobile. And you remember it was a big case in the United States about T-Mobile hack. A hacker was penetrating. Actually, we know he did it through a bare web server logic flow, which, by the way, is still present. And he took over the interface of resellers of T-Mobile, being capable to reverse the information, starting from a telephone number, getting them all the information of the people, all the subscribers, including username and passwords of the emails. This was leading later on also to the compromission of Paris Hilton email box, and the case was covered very much by the press. Why they got caught? They got caught because the guy who did it actually put his hands over an email box of a T-Mobile subscribers. That was the email box belonging to a CIA agent. And this CIA agent was using this email box just to bounce his private mail to the office mail and vice versa. So on this email box, secret documents they were transiting. So the smart guy, what he did, he got a copy of a very secret paper and went on IRC saying, "Hey, look what I got. Are you interested?" And eventually, this is not industrial espionage, but it's still, we wanted to discuss about it, because the guy actually ended up offering a service on the internet, PayPal-based, where he was reversing the information, starting from the cell phone number, and then giving out username passwords of the email of the subscriber. So he did it for money. This is why we're mentioning this case here. T-Mobile. Is T-Mobile bad? Actually, T-Mobile, it is just a telecommunication company. We personally have some specific knowledge about the field. We wanted to put you some numbers to let you understand what a big telecommunication company means today. It means 100,000 servers, more than 100,000 clients, desktops, usually average 80 million of kilometers of cabling, then between 10,000 and 20,000 of handles, palm, UMTS, telephone, and between 10,000 and 20,000 of notebooks. Now, you understand, you can be the genius of the security, IT security, you will never succeed. You will never be capable to secure 100% such structure. It's nearly impossible. This is why it is important what he was saying, that you must, you should be aware about possible intrusions, and you should start accordingly, exactly right now, like if somebody was already in. Please.
So just one thing. This is actually a very important issue, because you get this telecommunication company which has a lot of software. I remember when the Slammer incident happened, or the MS Blaster incident happened, all the security managers were blamed. Say, oh, you didn't patch the system. I say, why the fuck do I need to buy a system to patch it? So imagine, I don't know if how many of you know the Osprey project. The Osprey was this helicopter with that was becoming an airplane afterwards. It had two big, you know, engines making a vertical takeoff and then becoming an airplane and going. It was a military project for the Marines. It was worth billions of dollars for Bell helicopters in America. When the first one crashed, killing 50 Marines, you know, the Congress said, wait, there's a problem. This thing is flawed. Okay, the second one crashed and the project was totally stopped. Okay, so can you imagine having a Boeing 747 that needs a patch? Like you fly and say, shit, it fell down. Wow, it didn't have the patch. Let's download the patch for the Boeing 747. I mean, you kill 200 people, you will never let a piece of equipment or technology like that go in unpatched or like with an evolved beta version. Okay? On the other hand, we have all the software we get. It's totally imperfect. You know, we are the testers of the software. I download a patch every week. I mean, if there was a critical system, what would I do? And for a telecommunication operator, it's the same thing. I mean, every time you buy a new server, you hook in and you get a virus because it's not patched. I mean, you need to download the patch from the company. So this is a thing also of responsibility. Okay, from the security perspective, who is responsible? Is the manufacturer that gives you an imperfect thing, or is the operator that uses the software? He bought it, he paid money for it, and it is not working. Okay, and this is an issue actually that, I mean, maybe it doesn't relate to the hacker community, or maybe yes, I mean, because it's good to have imperfect things to tamper with. But the reason why you can tamper with these things is because they're being released flawed. And they just know they are flawed from the beginning.
Going quickly through other cases that happened this year, espionage in Israel, you were reading certainly about this big, big scandal that the telecommunication companies and big industries companies, there were some guys in the board, they were actually acting illegally, sending Trojans to other Israeli companies and creating so damages. It was actually hitting the news. The interesting thing it is that this is going on since 10 years at least, but only now we are hearing about it. And it's not going on only against Israeli companies. Actually, this is a kind of ping-pong war. We will see later a much better example. You also were reading about Chinese servers attacking US or UK servers. This is what we were all reading. But we have two specific cases we want to talk to you about. And one, it is actually related very much to ZoneH.org. One of the guy, one of the founder of the ZoneH.org is currently the administrator of the European Community server, some of the European Community servers in Brussels. And what he got recently He got a wave, a large wave of attacks through mails or direct attacks trying to exploit operating system services, trying to infect the system, installing a Trojan. So he analyzed the Trojan, and he found out that basically the Trojan was a programmable Trojan, from a reprogrammable Trojan from remote, that was linking back to the Guangzhou province in China. And at the moment he received it in the European Community servers in Bruxelles, the Trojan was programmed to search for Word and Excel files, just for unspecific Word and Excel file. But the program, the Trojan had also reprogramming functionality. Another case I want to tell you that we heard about it. We were holding a seminar in South Korea, in Seoul, together with a local CERT. And the chief of the CERT told me, you know, Roberto, we actually found a large wave of attacks through email or even direct attacks coming from North Korea. And then I asked him, how did you find out? North Korea doesn't have any internet infrastructure, by my knowledge, or it is very limited. And he told me, yeah, we traced it. Actually, they were using Chinese servers to attack our institution. And then I was thinking, how the hell did you find it out? I mean, the only way you found it out, it was to counter-hacking those servers in China, eventually seeing from which point of the planet the originating attack was. So basically, he did something totally illegal. He couldn't tell me. But I guess all of us, we would have done exactly the same. Now, another very good case happened in Italy. You know, we are shoemakers in Italy. Not the drivers, but just we're doing shoes very well. Italian shoes are very much appreciated in the world. And there is a specific part of Italy, which is the northwest part of Italy, in which area the shoes are produced. Now, we were used to see hordes of Chinese and Japanese guys. At the moment, the shoes model, you know, in Milano we have, I'm from Milano, we have the, it's the city of the fashion, no? The fashion capital of Italy. And the fashion in the world, it is basically managed between France, between Paris and Milano. Okay, most of it. Shit. And,
well,
that's people. Each time I say shit, something is clapping. This is cool. Shit! Way to go. Cool. So we were used about seeing Chinese and Japanese coming to the outside on the street, taking pictures outside the window of the boutiques and trying to get pictures of the new brand, new models of shoes, so that they could come back to the original country and make copies. This is not anymore in this way. This year, Italian shoes maker experienced a drop about 60% of their market share due to the fact that these Chinese are not anymore coming to take pictures. They are just hacking the server, downloading the production files directly from the production unit even before the shoes goes in production, producing it working overnight, shipping it, so it, you know, it takes time. Still, they hit the market, the Italian market, much earlier than the original product hits. So you can understand Italian companies are pretty much pissed off by this. A very good case also I want to talk about. It's quite old. This is tracing back to 2001. Personally, I was very much in touch by that time with Pakistanis and Indians, because I was very much attracted by the cyber war, which was not only based on defacements. Between the two countries, the cyber was based mostly over the issue of the Kashmir territory. You know about the story. But by that time, ISI, which is the Pakistani Secret Service, and we personally know at least two guys that they were working for Pakistani Secret Services, They were taking guys, young guys, and using these young guys, Pakistanis, to hack Indian servers to get information. One of the servers who got compromised at least twice, it is the BARC server, which is the server of the Atomic Committee under the Ministry of the Energy. And from this server, plans for the development of new cores for atomic reactor has been stolen. Well, you know, Pakistan is always up to date with nuclear stuff. They don't have a very big research team, but they have good hackers. And also, no, just come back 1 second. If you ever heard about Hexalab, well, some Europeans, they were also involved. Some Dutch guys, they were also involved. But Hexalab is a team based in Pakistan whose scope it is to develop zero-day vulnerabilities and exploits. And then such exploits are used long time ago also for defacing. Now they stopped since 2 years to do such stupid things. But they're still used to compromise the Western servers to get information that are basically turned to the Pakistani secret services. This is a very good case. We were exactly 1 year ago together spending vacation in Caribbean islands, and I was reading Under the Sun. I was reading the MIT book, the MIT Technology magazine. And this, in MIT Technology magazine, it was a very good article talking about a new program from US Army. We have to rush a little bit. Called FCS, Future Combat System, which is half on its way of the development. This is a 21, actually it is now it is $23 billion, got recently upgraded, program that actually sees the completely restructure the way America will do the war in the next years. Not anymore heavy tanks, big battalions of people, weak networks, but a new system based on a huge super network called Mosaic. This huge super network is actually managing through proprietary protocols, but also using TCP/IP, some subnets which are deployed on the territory, and subnets are used to deploy information, to distribute awareness and intelligence data, so that the Americans will totally change the way they will do the war. Instead of big, large number of soldiers, they will have small families of soldiers deployed on the fight territory, very well informed about what is going on, because they have spies, satellites and drones flying over the territory, mapping it and giving them information about the enemy location. Now, if this is the way America is developing the new way to do the war, we were thinking, well, it's based on a network. So if it is based on a network, it's hacker stuff. It's hacker territory. If yesterday, if you wanted to fight the United States, you had to take a gun and fight Vietnam, for example, even with unconventional method, nowadays, probably, you might be able to fight just by blocking the network. If you block such network, you completely destroy America's capability to coordinate the troops on the territory. So we were thinking, let's try to imagine to be, for example, Russians. Russians are very active in such kind of military espionage. And let's try to see from open sources how much good information we can find in order to eventually, of course we didn't do it, compromise the servers of the company who are developing such system located on a US territory. And let's see how easy it is. So we did. We discovered that the full network protocol and management is based on 31 million lines of unaudited code, because nobody is going to audit a military system. No, it's not open source Linux. Even though Linux is somehow entering, a special Berkeley University version of Linux, militarized university, is still entering into such program, such project, but still we have 31 million of lines of unaudited code. Well, I would like to look if it is possible to put my hands over such amount of unaudited code. I can imagine how much vulnerabilities I can find. So, strangely, on Boeing website, this is only in America you can find such things, you have the full list of the developers of every single aspect of the project, the name of the team leader, his email server and telephone address. Now, this is if I was Russian and I wanted to steal things, I would start exactly from such servers. And this is not actual decoys servers. This is true information. We started to give lectures about this problem 1 year ago in March in Indonesia. Also in the comic book, yes. We did the second episode of our comics was talking about such trouble. July of this year, I was in Rome. I got in contact because I was called by a guy from the U.S. Embassy. We saw several military people attending our speech when we were talking about such troubles, because in our speech we were showing specifically some weak points of what of the information about on the information what we found actually about such program. Anyway, this military guy, U.S. military guy, told me, "Do you know any ring of stealers of information related to military U.S. military programs?" Through attacks originating from East Europe. And I said, "Are you talking about Russian stealing FCS stuff?" And then he became white. He said, "FCS? I don't know. What is it?" No. It's happening. And of course, if you don't have the money to fight a superpower like the United States, in the traditional way, you do it in a conventional way, using hackers. I don't want another Cisco versus Lean and Black Hat case, so there is no name here.
Shit.
Where is Tim Pritlove? CCC is going to get some troubles, I guess, for this. No, well, you have to know, did you know that Skype had just recently, they fixed it, but they had a double login issue. If you were logging in with the username and password from two different servers, most of the time you were capable to get the TXT information, not the voice, but the TXT chat, basically mirrored on both computers that logged with your username and password. What does it mean? It means, excuse me?
Feature.
A very good feature. Yes. Excellent feature. In fact, maybe also you certainly know that Skype.net was owned for several months. Therefore, your feature becomes a trouble if somebody owning Skype server knows your username and password. No? Then we have on... We have an unresolved privilege escalation issue also. If you go on zonehq.org, you have you can find an advisory, 6 months old. In the meantime, 3 new releases of Skype went out and no patches. And there is also a zero-day vulnerability, which is allowing arbitrary remote execution of code. And we know at least one case of when such vulnerability was used to compromise a client of a guy working in a big company to steal information. So be careful when you're using Skype, basically. Now, what is this? A question to you guys. It's a picture, yes. It's a question mark. It's made in China, a very good statement. What is this, please? It's a network card. Question. We have a very qualified audience here. Congratulations. Question to you that you were saying that it's a network card. How do you know it's a network card? It looks like a network card. How do you know what's actually the internal functionality of this? You just trust it. The point is, we are all bitching about, fuck, Windows is not releasing the source code. Where the problem could be, just under your eyes, on a lower layer of the IT security. I mean, we're all bitching on the fact that we want to have open source code, besides the fact that none of you basically audited the Firefox source code. Who did it? See? No? You're just, what, one? You're just using it because you're trusting that he actually, the other guy, did it, and vice versa. But do you know what's happening in the chip? No. Laws today are forbidding even you to reverse engineer such equipment. You get in trouble if you do it. You don't even have the right to know what's going on in your network card. And if I was in a possibility to develop a product to spy, definitely I would have put something inside the network card, network equipment. Try to go and look for it. You will never be able. So when you're mounting a network card, you're just trusting and hoping that it's a network card. And as long as it looks like a network card, he's happy.
So this is another question mark, I know. So what are... Shit. No. Never mind. So what the point is of all this, I mean, it would take weeks just to exploit all these issues, okay? So be also patient on the fact of Skype. We are not saying the whole thing just because there was a big incident at the Black Hat this year. I don't know if you know about that, but, you know, the Black Hat was sued and everything because somebody talked about the Cisco thing. So we are very careful about talking about it. Anyway, what how we wanted to close is, I mean... we searched in history to find the perfect security guy, okay? And who could that be? Who could that be? Who could that be? That's him. I mean, he got the thing built, you know, all these pyramids and everything. You know, there is all these guys working. And then I didn't find the slide with people being slaughtered afterwards, but actually he killed them all afterwards. So the message is either we get a security manager or some good security people that, you know, get the job done and then they kill everybody, and I mean, we just need to live with it and be patient, okay, be really aware about what's happening, and... try also to focus on the right target. Like if you are a hacker, you are doing the right thing, exploiting all this shit software that is being released to us. Because, I mean, every time I buy something, there is something that doesn't go well, something that doesn't work. And it can always, always be exploited. And that pisses me off.
And the okay. industry protects them. I mean, if you release a piece of, I don't know, virus, you get jailed. But if Sony does it... then it's okay.
And that's another thing, digital right management. Did you ever hear about the Sony thing? I mean, everybody did. That's a Trojan, legal Trojan, that was released by Sony Corporation, you know, just to control you. Imagine just not to let you copy your MP3 file into, you know, another computer, because I may have two computers, okay? Anyway, so just to close, this is another little thing. We were talking about Trojans, we were talking about exploitation of software, okay? So never mind the picture, but do you know that most of the institutions right now, just to do investigation, before there was the phone interception, okay? Phone interception has been done through a legal warrant, okay, of the judge, I mean in most of the democratic countries, that is being given to an operator which does or, you know, allows this interception to happen, and it has a time period and it is logged and everything. Now with the internet, they invented these things which are, you know, legal Trojans, which is called injected interception. It's just there are some companies which are focused, their business model is just to build Trojans which can be used by institutions. The only problem, what is it? I mean, if I'm being investigated, it is correct with a judge with a warrant that gives a warrant that I'm being intercepted. But if with a tool like this, I mean, there is no control. The warrant, to who do you give the warrant? The institution does have the way to get into your machine, exploiting the vulnerabilities of your machine, because it is vulnerable, and you will never know when it starts, when it ends, and if it is authorized. Okay? And I mean, I'm a very respectful of institutions. I work with institutions, but they are human beings. So it could happen also that these things are being used not for investigative purposes or to or for crime prevention. So that's how I wanted to close. I don't think we have time for questions, but we're going to be around for 3 days now, so you can ask whatever you want if you have questions to us in the next 2 days. Thank you very much.
I put the CD down.